This weekend retreat was given by Father William Hollebeck at Our Lady of Good Counsel Retreat House, January 30th to February 1st, 2015, on the topic of Unbound, Breaking Free from Spiritual Wounds. These and other recordings are available at our website, goodcounselretreat.com.
Welcome, welcome, in a very beautiful way for such a beautiful group to come. I feel very blessed and very honored to have this opportunity to speak to you and to present you a little bit of what I've encountered. I walk this path with you. I don't really walk very much in front of you, maybe a step or two. I may be walk right with you, and I may be a step behind some of you, but I'm walking with you. I'm not an expert in the Unbound model. I'm not an expert in Neil Lozano's works. I'm just going to keep stumbling on, and hopefully and the Holy Spirit will work his wonders for you. There is a little challenge in the retreat setting like this because we have three masses. So normally the Neil's works and the conferences, they have seven talks. And so I've got to squish them into a homily. So the homilies may go a little longer. I'll try not to make them go an hour. But I'll try and keep them and bring you the information and the things that are kind of happening in this beautiful gift. It was a beautiful reading in the sense that I'm not sure if you caught it, but the first talk here is meant to be deliverance is a good word, and we actually had it in the responsorial psalm. If you notice the last stanza, it leads up to it saying the salvation of the just is from the Lord. From the Lord, you know, that reality that God is a source, Jesus is a source for our salvation. He's the one who saves us. He is their refuge in time of distress. And then it said, the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. You know, our God is so close to us. He is longingly and lovingly walking with us also. And so it is a great joy that we know that he is here and that we ask now in this Mass of the Holy Spirit that he would send his Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds and hearts so that we may see more clearly what's in our hearts. You know, that's where the greatest mystery is, what's really in our hearts. And that's where the Holy Spirit wants to bring his light. And that's where Jesus wants to come and set us free and to truly give us something that we may not even realize is possible. I say, why me, perhaps? And I'll give you just a little bit of reason why I'm here. I don't quite understand. I've told people, I said, I feel like the Holy Spirit's been dragging me by the toes the last 8 months. I'm here anyway. So when I got back from a mission director meeting, I had met some people who said, went to Arlington, Virginia, and another one in Connecticut, and they says, yeah, their pastor in Arlington, he was asking this one lady to help them set up teams because he wants this to be the evangelization model for his entire parish. He doesn't just want to pray with all the people in his parish. He wants to pray with everybody in the town, the whole community, because he says this is where people encounter God in such a powerful way that he said this, he wants to use it there. I'm going, wow, what is this? Another priest says if a parish would do this, they'd take care of 80% of the problems. That caught my mind. You know, I'm going, well, that's pretty good. I could use some problems taken care of. And so I think we all could. And so that's what kind of got my interest. And after getting back, a number of things happened that just this amazing, twisting, turning road that has brought me here. I began helping a young lady who was having problems with spirits, with a lot of them. And that's kind of where I started. So I had some experiences that opened my eyes to things and the need for things. I'll tell you more about that later, though. Deliverance is a good word. Deliverance is taking hold of the full freedom that God has given you in his kingdom, in his kingdom. You know, Neil has this great story of his encounter in Rwanda. Remember the Rwandan massacre? And there's a woman who was hiding in the forest, and she finally got out, and she's back there living with them, and back with the people who were there. And you know, and she had this sense of just this, you know, who knows where it came from, but this sense of her, that she was believed a lie that she was ugly, And they said she only had a small little sliver of glass. And she would, when she get ready, she would look at maybe just her eyes or maybe just her hair or maybe just her lips. And that's all she wanted to see. You know, that sense of being, to renounce that, a lie, that she had somehow taken into her heart that she was ugly. You know, and she avoided the mirror at school. But now after this, she stood in front of it. And she bravely just walked in front of it. She never would have even tried before. And she looked up and she says, "Wow, I'm beautiful." You know, deliverance is the freedom to see ourselves as God sees us. As God sees us. That's what deliverance is. It's to change the way we see ourselves and others. Deliverance is a good word. Okay? Trials of our lives, you know, they show us something. They show us within our hearts. Is it fear, anger, resentment, bitterness? You know, we think about God and His goodness and His desire to save and heal us. That's where we start to focus. Deliverance is really moving into a new kingdom. You know, at baptism, we know the beautiful rite of baptism, how there's a little prayer of driving out the darkness and driving out the devil and saying that we are claiming this child for Christ, you know, and because we're now becoming part of His kingdom, the kingdom that he so beautifully spoke of in the gospel, the kingdom that is sown like a seed into our hearts and that begins to grow, and we wouldn't realize it. Just like the seeds begin to grow and the farmer doesn't go, well, they know it's growing, but ain't quite sure how sometimes. And it's that same thing that God does in our hearts, is he allows His presence and the gift of faith, hope, and love to grow. Deliverance is moving out of something and into something. There is a movement. There's a changing. And that movement from out of something, this one woman from Rwanda, out of this sense that she was ugly. And so convicted by that she won't even look in the mirror, into a new reality of seeing that she was beautiful. You know, there's the movement that deliverance brings. It's a change in the way we experience ourselves and know ourselves, understand God. And so it's a powerful thing. It's not really seeing ourselves in the sense the lies and words that held us bondage, but seeing us really as God sees us. Deliverance is a great theme in sacred scripture also. In Israel's history and identity of who they really are. You know, we remember the great story of out of Egypt. You know, they were slaves. Yet they understood their identity as God's children, as God's people. Even though they've been slaves for 400 years in Egypt, they knew they belonged to somebody else. They belonged to God. And that they were foreigners in this land. And they were waiting for Him to save them. They knew their identity. They knew they belonged to God, the one God. God delivers His people from slavery to freedom in that beautiful moment of the Red Sea. And what does He say in Exodus 13:8? It says, "And on that day you will explain to your son, this is because of what the Lord did for me. When I came out of Egypt, it will be like a sign on your hand, a reminder on your forehead, so that the teaching of the Lord will be on your lips. With a strong hand, the Lord brought you out of Egypt. You will keep the statute as appointed from year to year." In that reality of that the Lord set them free, and they wanted to remember that forever. This was the personal history of Jesus as a Jew. You know, and it's our story also. We are delivered from darkness into light. The Old Testament has many great awareness of this reality of darkness also. Isaiah 60 says, "Though darkness covers the earth and thick clouds the peoples, upon you the Lord will dawn, and over you His glory will be seen." We know at the beginning of the creation, darkness covered the earth. And then the wind came, and there was the word for Ruah, which literally the Holy Spirit came, and creation began. What was the first thing created? Light, separated light from darkness. You know, as the Holy Spirit was present. And thus it is the Holy Spirit we call upon tonight to enter and to surround us and to bring that light into our hearts, our minds, and our lives. Satan's kingdom to God's kingdom is the movement. You know, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says, "We know that we belong to God, and the whole world is under the power of the evil one." In Acts chapter 26, St. Paul, or the St. Paul tells us, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may obtain forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been consecrated by faith in me. This is what Jesus told St. Paul after he knocked him off his horse, after he basically had to get his attention. He said, that's what he told him. He says, you're going to go to open their eyes and that they may turn from darkness to light. That was his commission to Paul, you know, that you can turn them from the power of Satan to the power of to God. That was Paul's commission after he got knocked off his horse, so that they may obtain forgiveness of sins. The very purpose of Jesus' coming is literally right here. It's like the gospel, the mini gospel, to save us from Satan's kingdom, to bring us in God's kingdom, so that we may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been consecrated by faith in me. An inheritance, that means his kingdom, the kingdom of God, heaven. It's a movement from bondage to freedom. What Jesus came to do, 1 John chapter 3 says, whoever sins belongs to the devil, because the devil has sinned from the beginning. Indeed, the Son of God was revealed to destroy the works of the devil. So this is why Jesus comes, to destroy the works of Satan, to destroy them. And we have to realize he can do that. He's God. He just has to come and do it. True freedom. John chapter 8, verse 36. That's what this is coming to. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the son frees you, you will be truly free. There it is. The son is always free. And if the son, Jesus, sets us free, we will be free. A more complete understanding of deliverance perhaps involves knowing a few more things. Big thing is this. Deliverance is not exorcism, driving out demons. Exorcism is a rite of the Catholic Church given by a priest who has the authorization of the bishop. It is basically prayers and blessings that make it more painful for the evil spirit to stay than to remain. So it's like torturing them. You basically torture them until they leave. That's what exorcism is. It's coming in with brute force and saying, going into battle, beating them up until they get tired of getting beat up and they want to leave. That's in a simple man's way. Deliverance doesn't focus on the devil or the works of the devil. It must be seen in a broader context, much broader. Often we need to unlearn our old practices, which kind of focus on dramatics of fear. Jesus helps me to learn how to listen to what the Holy Spirit is raising in my heart. You know, this idea of that deliverance includes freedom from the influence of evil. And that I think is a beautiful way of understanding it. You know, because the influence of evil. Well, what's the influence of evil? Well, we all experience it, you know. Sometimes we get upset. We get angry. All of our passions come out in different ways. And we know this is probably not the best thing sometimes. They're negative. They hurt people. They hurt us. We feel bad afterwards. What happens, though, is that there is many times this rip, so to say, this tear in our relationship or something, and where we get this betrayal or anger or bitterness or resentment kind of stuck in our hearts, is that it becomes a doorway for the enemy to kind of start pushing our buttons. So it's the spirit of bitterness, and he knows exactly where we're hurting, and he pokes that little wound and keeps poking it. That's the influence of evil, okay? That's what deliverance is meant to set us free from, is to heal the wound and not let him come and poke the button. That's a beautiful freedom. That's a wonderful freedom. Deliverance should be seen in the context of evangelization, proclamation of the kingdom of Christ. That's what deliverance is. It's saying God is here and he wants to set you free. He wants to change your life. That's why you're here. It's not a mistake you're here. It's not random. You've been called here. God has invited you here, and he wants you here because he wants to give you something tremendously wonderful. What happens is, you can put it this way, deliverance is non-confrontational. That's what the unbound model is. It's non-confrontational. It's not about confronting the spirits or the demons. It's non-confrontational. It's about looking into our heart and finding out where we can take responsibility for our life. You know, a little image came to me when I was thinking about these things, and it was kind of, I like simple things. And it was like, you know, if you've ever been going to a, sometimes it happens after a funeral, and you go out to the cemetery, and so at least as priests anyway, we kind of crop smash into one car. And so you all kind of get together, and you get in the car, and you go, oh no, there's no more seats left. I can't get in. Deliverance is taking away the enemy's seat, not giving him a place to sit in our life anymore. It's saying, like the old little game, you know, musical chairs, keep pulling the chairs away until there's none left. And that's what we're doing. We're taking his chair away, saying, you can't sit here anymore. I'm taking the chair out. And the game goes on. That's the simple way I would explain deliverance. It's just a very holy musical chairs with us and the Spirit. Well, we'll skip that one. There is a beautiful reality of what Neil talks about when he's in Kenya. And in Kenya, he was training leaders to work with the deliverance model, the unbound model and deliverance. And we start talking about it, and they were so overwhelmed and so just really, wow, they were like shocked because of how simple and how non-confrontational. And they kind of says, you mean we don't have to jump down and scream and holler and shout or anything? They go, no, no, it's not what we're doing here. And everybody kind of relaxed. And they started to listen because they realized that this was not the confrontation, that this was simply looking into hearts and ultimately allowing people to see their own hearts and helping them take responsibility for their lives in a very, very simple way, in a very powerful way. Deliverance in the name of Jesus is really what this is about. The power of his name. And I told you a little bit about my start. And I'll tell you a little more, just a few bits. There's a man, a priest, Holy Monsignor, called Monsignor SF. Maybe you've ever heard of him or not, but he actually had been I met him on a retreat one time. And he also does exorcism stuff. But he was actually a spirit director for Mother Teresa. And so God knew that one way that you grow in the spiritual life is to be brutally humbled. You know, and Mother Teresa told Father Grishel of happy memory. One time he told us a story on a retreat. He says he was driving Mother Teresa around, and Mother Teresa asked him to do something. He says, Mother, that'd be humiliating. And she goes, the road to humility is through humiliation. And in her beautiful, succinct way, she put it there. So that was something that we all have to sometimes experience. And for me, this was a time for that. You know, I tried to help this young woman with kindness and recite some powerful prayers, but there were problems. There were problems happening. And I was very ignorant, and I still really am. Well-meaning, but very, very naive. And Monsignor SF, as I went to him and says, what's going on? He just kind of says, you're naive. You don't know what you're doing. And then he said this. Actually, it's the first thing he said. He says, you can do nothing for yourself or anybody else. You can't protect yourself. You can't protect them. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus can. You know, and those were words that pierced my heart. And I don't think I'll ever forget them. The reality that, you know, you grow up and you become a priest and you think that you've got all this power. And you think you can do this and you can say these words and bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ. So you kind of get this attitude a little bit. And sometimes we have to be very humbled, acknowledging, not like we think about it a lot, it's just like, yeah, it happens, okay? You say it, it happens. And that's what is supposed to happen. But that beautiful reality is that sometimes we very humbly say, we forget that it's Jesus doing this. It's Jesus the one who says the words. By grace of the sacrament of holy orders, when I speak the words, he says them. It's Jesus who says, I baptize you. It's Jesus who says, I absolve you. It's Jesus who says, this is my body. When I speak those words, it's a great gift. In the same time, only Jesus can. Only Jesus can heal you. Only Jesus can set you free. Only Jesus can deliver you. Only Jesus can protect me. Only Jesus can show me the way. Only Jesus can. Really, this is about proclaiming the kingdom of God. Deliverance in the New Testament is always in the context of the kingdom. Like our beautiful reading today. This is how it is, the kingdom of God. How is it? Deliverance applies the gospel of Jesus into each person's life. Now, when we experience freedom, that's why deliverance is kind of like evangelization. Because when you experience freedom, you can't stop talking about it. You want it for everybody. Everybody you love, you just go, oh, I want you to have this. Please, read this book. Pray this way. Come to this retreat. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But it really is that beautiful thing. It's when you and I, and we'll share a little bit about it later, but it's when you experience Christ. This is how the early gospel was. This is why the word spread around the world. You want to share it with somebody else. That's why the freedom is such a wonderful thing, because you begin to realize that, holy smokes, God is right here. He is right here. And he just did something that I could never have done. He just set me free from something I never thought I could be free from. And I didn't even realize I was in bondage. Deliverance applies these five keys, simply the gospel applied to our life. It speaks into a person's life and gives us a chance to respond. The principle is focusing on truth. You know, the devil's schemes and tactics include distortion of the truth and the hiding our sin from our awareness and blocking our ability to know our Lord Jesus. But focusing on the truth is really saying deliverance shows us how to focus on the truth and how to focus on the person. And a prayer that targets the enemy's strategies. You know, we don't really focus on the devil, but it's the confrontation with the devil. We focus on the freedom in Christ. And freedom is found in knowing Jesus. Now, I know that sounds maybe kind of simple, but it really is true. And it's really an amazing way. And I'll just say, it says it's been ongoing, and I'm so appreciative because it's been, my life has been changing. It's like I'm realizing and growing as a priest. And so if a priest can grow, anybody can. So really, you're in there. You can do it. In John 8:31-32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth will set you free. And Jesus is the truth. He is the truth about our lives. He reveals the truth to us. And he is the truth that will set us free. The truth of that young girl was that she was beautiful in God's eyes. She was beautiful, and she began to see that. And the truth set her free. Deliverance involves doing our part. God wants us to decide for it all. Do we want to be free? That's the question. Do we want to be free? The first thing is to decide. I want to be free. We need his grace, and we need to surrender to him. And so that's where we are. We need his grace, and we need to surrender to him. So let's just, a little prayer then. Lord, I want to be free. I give you my whole life. I surrender to all of you. I surrender all to you. I want you to be Lord of my life. I don't want to hold on to my small bondages or my big ones. I want to give them to you. Help me, Lord. Let my heart be pleasing to you. Amen.